This is CliffCentral.com.
360 Biz, this is where we're at. My name is Teboho Mafodi. Welcome to another exciting installment of 360 Biz. Unfortunately, that I'm alone in studio today. My boy Bulelani couldn't be here. But more than anything, as we know that as entrepreneurs out there, I mean, we always out there hustling. One thing that I always say is that business people never become late. You know, they become delayed. So I guess my brother, wherever he is, he's delayed doing business. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what we are, business people. And interesting enough is that when you go out there, you find there's a lot of businesses that get started day in, day out, week in, week out. And more than anything, and you realize that out of the blue, there's organizations that rock up. I mean, with all these failures, a high rate of failures that businesses last 2 years. I mean, we've got studies that have shown that an average SME would take about 2 to 3 years. And once you overcome that waiting period, or whether I'll call it a waiting period or a probation period, then you most spend the chance of being successful. But I mean, right now with the government, obviously, they've introduced programs that has actually allowed big business and organization to be started, mainly with the purpose of empowering and establishing these small businesses. Today, it's one of the discussions that I'm having. We're talking about business incubation, of which business incubation has been identified as a powerful tool to support and sustain small businesses and boost the economy, most importantly. I mean, as a result, SEDA and the Department of Small Business were hosting an inaugural South African Business Incubation Conference on the 10th and on the 11th March 2016. Unfortunately, I couldn't be able to attend in Galaga Estate. I was out of the country. But I know that the theme that they have was incubation as a vehicle for economic prosperity, and the conference was aiming, I mean, at following a couple of key issues, being business incubation policy, being incubation finding models, international best practices, technology commercialization, and role of academic institution within the business space. I mean, all this is brought in stakeholders, affected parties, and opinion leaders in the business incubation space within the conference. And I must say, I've been part of an incubator myself, and what can I say? I've seen some good ones, I've seen some bad ones, but more than anything, it's not about me today. It's about SMEs out there. But more than anything, one thing I always say to people, never underestimate humble beginnings, because you'll be surprised some of the information and the opportunities that you'll get within this incubation. That's why I've got some of the guests that I've got in studio today. You're going to get an opportunity for me to introduce them. These are the people that are in the space of SME development. More than anything, you're allowed to join in on our discussion. Our studio line is 0861-555-189, 0861-555-189. We're on Twitter as well. Our Twitter handle is at Cliff Central. We're on Facebook as well. Our Facebook page, it's Cliff Central. We're on WeChat as well. WeChat ID, it's Cliff Central. If you want to follow me on social media, it's at Teboho Mafodi. On Twitter, it's Teboho Mafodi. On Facebook, and at Teboho Mafodi on Instagram. We're going to be posting some of the pictures so that you see some of our guests. I'm actually feeling like a king today, because I've got women only in studio. If only it was, but you know, thank God. I mean, we just come from, Women's Day? Is it Mother's Day? Or, what is it?
Mother's Day.
So I guess maybe that's why I have women only in studio. So I'm more like King Mswati or the president, you see. So, but more than anything, that voice that you've just heard, it's a friend of mine, a lady that you all know, that he's not new to the show, who's a subject matter expert within the business of finance. That's Miss Precious Mvulane. Miss Precious, do you want to say hi to our listeners? Tell us
absolutely. Productive day indeed.
Yes, no, definitely. Do you want to say hi to them?
Yes, Sanbonan.
I love how she says Sanbonani. It's as if you guys will respond. I mean, Precious, there's people that don't know you and that are hearing about you for the very first time. Do you want to tell us who you are? What is it that you do?
Basically, I help businesses manage their financial performance. And through that, in managing the financial risk and legal risk that actually arise within the business. And I set up systems and train business owners to understand and watch out for those things. And I do that through books, training, and development.
And you've written a book.
Yes.
What's your book?
My book is called Essential Finance Handbook for Business Owners, mm-hmm. 7 Steps in Managing Your Financial Performance.
Hmm. So where do people get a hold of this book?
They get the book at all bookstores, Exclusive Books, CNA, and we also have sales agents.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Before I actually get to my guest, I want to speak to you. You are a businesswoman. And as a businesswoman, not only that you're running a profitable accounting firm, you've gone now into writing books, and I know you've got an interesting venture that is coming up soon that's focusing on definitely empowering of SMEs financially. So, and I know definitely that you've had an opportunity of working with a couple of incubators yourself. So do you say, as entrepreneurs, are we taking enough advantage of these incubations?
I think to some extent, not really. I mean, the ones that I've been involved with, the consistent turn up on attendance tends to drop over a period of time. We are not taking a really strong interest in developing ourselves. Mm-hmm. We think maybe chasing in a survival mode is going to fix our problem, whereas we should be focusing on saying, you know what, I have tried this, it didn't work out. Let me work on myself so that I can fix what is happening in my business. Because you can't fix what is happening on your business if you are not equipped. So I think the programs are there and they are available, they are accessible, but we are not as entrepreneurs committed as much. Earlier, me and you were talking is that I kind of feel most of the time the entrepreneurs do not really know and understand how much does it take to actually run a successful business. I mean, there is an illusion that within 12 months or 2 years, I will make profit. That is pure illusion. So, because you're supposed to be building infrastructure for your business mm-hmm. on those years. You're supposed to be building the foundation. You shouldn't be thinking about profit. You should be thinking about how do I build systems that would outlive me. So, yeah.
How do I build systems that would outlive me?
Yes.
But now, would you say incubators are filling that gap, though, of helping businesses?
I think they are filling the gap, but the gap is also too wide. What I have picked up in the programs that I've been involved, I've been involved with the programs that screen people that come through, but I've been also with programs that do not screen. Like, usual government does not do screening. Mm-hmm. They will just give you a pool. The literacy level gap is too wide. And that is why in South Africa we are not competitive.
Yeah, no, you're raising a very critical issue. you're raising a very critical issue. But you know, my concern has been what though? Within the South African business context, is that SMEs remain SMEs forever. Don't they ever grow?
The reason why they don't grow, it's themselves that have not grown. You see, business relies on my development as a business owner because I own this business.
Mm-hmm.
So each time when I do not grow as a person,
okay,
my business also is not going to grow because I'm not challenging myself. We stick with the comfortableness. We stick with comfortableness because that is the easy thing to do. We just need to understand that for me to run this business and really grow it, I have to change as a person for my business to actually go forward.
I have to change as a person for my business to grow looking forward. Mm-hmm. Let me introduce one of the guests in studio. But now, interesting enough is that this guest, she actually did LLB. So now I'm asking myself to say, what is a lawyer doing in the space of SME development? But let me take this opportunity to introduce Natasha Martins, who's the operations manager for Incuvest. Natasha, how are you?
I'm very good, and yourself, Tvoho. And I just want to say hi to all the Cliff Central listeners.
Yes. Do you want to tell us who you are and what is it that you do?
Yes, my name is Natasha Martins. I'm the operational manager of a business incubator called Incuvest. We are situated in Pretoria, and we mostly operate in Gauteng at the moment. Like you already said, I've got an LLB degree. I'm an admitted attorney. And how I landed here is I joined the BE space in 2008. Being in BE sparked my already burning passion for change and making other people's dreams come true. So this is why I'm here and not in court.
Wow, that's so sweet.
Yeah, no, I like that. And you sound very passionate about what you do.
I am very passionate.
No, definitely. Moving right along to another guest, I've got Tibusi Rapekwani, who's the senior executive Johannesburg branch for the Hope Factory. I love the name Hope Factory. Busi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Deboho? And hello to your listeners.
No, thank you very much. Busi, do you want to tell us who you are? What is that you do?
I call myself an entrepreneur activist.
I like that.
And I'm also an entrepreneur development specialist. So I go about developing programs that are going to have impact in the entrepreneur's business and lead to growth in entrepreneur's business. And I'm also, my personal vision is to see an entrepreneurial environment that is conducive for growth for everyone who wants to go into the entrepreneurial journey and anyone who wants to start a business. I would like to see an environment that is so attractive that when you're talking to school kids, they can talk about being an entrepreneur in the same vein as they talk about being a chartered accountant or a doctor. So my mission is to make sure that we really make a success of entrepreneurship so that children in future can look forward to becoming entrepreneurs.
Yes, it should be a career choice.
Exactly.
That is so true, because obviously within the various platforms that I am, I always call myself an SME activist, because for me, I think right now entrepreneurship is a career choice. Right now, for me, it's sad that when banks looks at us, if you're an entrepreneur, they think you are unemployed.
That's true.
So you are unemployed, and when you know other organizations, you say, "No, I'm running my own business." Like, no, no, no. And interesting enough, one thing that I've always said that disturbs me is that an employee of mine will acquire Bond, but me, the business owner, wouldn't
qualify. Like,
who's who here? Because I'm the one that needs to be getting the most money. You know, so for the fact that I pay employees, that should say, oh, there's more where that came from.
Exactly.
But I mean, it's one of those things. Natasha, you spoke of something very interesting when you said you bumped into the BEE space. Right now, according to the amended BEE codes, I mean, it has become a priority, being enterprise development. Why do you think is that now?
Both enterprise development and supplier development is now priority elements on the amended codes of good practice. And I think the reason for that is because enterprise as well as supplier development is such a wonderful vehicle for change. Because you don't only change the life of one person, but like you just say, our entrepreneurs, they employ people. So I think that is one of the big, big reasons why it is a priority element now. Just to give you guys an example, over the past financial year, the beneficiaries in our program created 57 jobs in the past financial year. In the 2016-2017 financial year, we're already on a job count of about 27. If you just take into account that one created job changed the lives of 7 people, and that's conservatively speaking, in South Africa, we've changed over 550 people's lives since last year, 1st of March.
Wow.
And that is all thanks to enterprise development and supplier development, because we rely mainly on business owners who needs the points on the BEE scorecard for our contributions.
Yeah.
So that is a direct, motivation for it to be a priority element.
Yeah. No. We'll come back to that. I wanna discuss something with you, Precious, before you leave. Right now, obviously, you've seen there's a lot of businesses that are ticking boxes. As far as enterprise development is concerned, do you think as corporates, are corporates prioritizing this enterprise development and supply development thing serious?
I think others are, others are not. Remember, this is a new concept. When it's getting introduced, and it's getting introduced by legislation, it's not a comfortable environment for anyone. I'm of a view that within the next 2-3 years, we're going to start pulling out the best practices. And those best practices are going to help us to reframe on how we should be approaching enterprise. And it's a learning curve. I mean, I went through another enterprise development program where they were not screening, and I said to them, but hang on, you're asking me to come and train. At what NQF level am I supposed to be pitching this? Because I can pitch the same content up to an MBA student.
Mm.
But that does not mean the person who has no matric will actually be able to then implement immediately. They're going to need me to hold their hand.
Mm-hmm.
So when the enterprise development program is not checking their own processes to make sure that they can measure the impact, it then becomes very tricky when it's just a tick box. So I'm of a view that, yes, it's a learning curve. They just need to do the best and use, and there are good ones. There are studies that are showing good ones, but it's about, you have to know what was the status before you put the intervention of the customer, so of the client, in this case an entrepreneur, before you put intervention. Then after intervention, check the impact. What has been the impact of this intervention that I've done? And I'm of a view that as a social entrepreneur myself, it's possible to be able to do that.
Mm.
You can measure using the number of people employed, the turnover, the full compliance in terms of tax clearance, and so on. There's several components that can be used.
You said something very key, check the impact. In fact, before we actually check on the impact, one thing that I want to ask you, have you been part of an incubator before?
Yes, definitely.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. You see, entrepreneurs, they think being in an incubation, you must have been, there's something lacking with
mm-hmm.
you. In South Africa, we don't have mentorship. We don't have coaching.
No, that's so true.
So for me, I already knew what I needed to do, how I need, but I needed someone who's going to check my thinking. The same thing I did with you.
Mm-hmm.
I gave it a half a page and said, just read, do you think I'm in the right thought?
Mm-hmm.
I do that with even with Alan Reis.
Mm-hmm.
I make an appointment with him in 20 minutes and I say, here's what I think I'm going to be doing. Can you just check if I'm thinking right? So for me, incubation, what it did, I went to Auric.
Mm-hmm.
I also did Branson Center.
Mm-hmm.
I also did Spark International Changemaker, which is an international NGO, which I'm now a director in it,
okay.
So as a founding member in South Africa. So even on that, it's about how I'm thinking about the problems, how I'm looking at how, because my frame of mind when I'm building a business has to be consistently be changing based on what the market is feeding me. And that keeping up has to, someone has to facilitate that.
Mm.
Someone has to have some sort of a different thinking on looking at things.
Hmm. Yeah, no, I like that. So now, I mean, as I let you go, I know you do a couple of work with incubators yourself. I mean, what kind of work do you do with incubators?
Okay, so what I basically do with incubators, first of all, we go through what is their strategy, what are the key performance indicators.
Mm-hmm.
I do not get involved with the incubators that does not know what are they measuring.
Mm.
And then from that, I will then explain my own processes on how I make sure that they're able to achieve their key performance indicators.
Mm-hmm.
And I will also take them through my material and why it's important that the involvement of the entrepreneurs and them doing the exercise. So I basically make sure that they cannot just say to an entrepreneur when maybe he's unable to attend, it's okay.
Mm.
It has to have some sort of a consequence. If you have missed it, then these are the things that you need to do to make sure that you cover big. Because you see, when you look at business, everything is integrated.
It's true.
And if your target was that I need to have a financial plan or I need to have a business plan, you cannot have a marketing plan that is not informed by a sales projection, that is not informed by operations, that is not informed by financial planning to provide the resources that you need.
Mm-hmm.
It's all integrated. And if you think you're going to miss one or two of those, do you think you're going to get the right result?
No, definitely.
So that is my approach. And I generally detect to the incubator on what would be the best way based on the cape, and then they will then provide their input. But in most of the time, I think I've done this with quite more than 300 entrepreneurs. So I've tested my product.
No, definitely.
Quite comfortable.
No, but we're looking forward to having you back on the show when we're discussing strategy. And thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for the invite.
No, definitely. That was Precious Mvulane from JED Consulting. I mean, she spoke of something very interesting. She said we must check the impact. So I want to take this call and check the impact. As to, it's actually a surprise that I know that Natasha is not expecting. But you'll hear this right after this. Hello.
Hello?
Hello, Vusi. How are you?
Fine, thanks. And you?
No, good, thanks. I know Natasha is not expecting you on the line. Do you want to say hi to our listeners? Tell us who you are and what is it that you do?
Hi, Natasha.
Hi, Vusi. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. And you?
Why are you not working?
No, I'm a drag. I've just parked my car on the side.
I mean you heard the discussion before we put you on the line. Where Prisha says we must check the impact. So the reason I've got you on the line is actually a surprise to Natasha. I want us to check the impact, that as to how effective has the incubation been in your business personally.
Yeah. You know, to be honest, I've been involved in all the incubation programs before. But in QVest, I can tell you, it stands out.
Mm-hmm.
It stands out. The type of assistance that you get from them, it's not actually financial alone. You know,
so when you say it's not financial alone, my brother, so you're saying they've given you money? What are you saying?
Not really. They are not giving us money per se. But,
okay.
But you know, how is it difficult?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's quite difficult if you are a SMME, you know what I mean, in terms of finance, when it comes to when you get your actual purchasing order to buy the material, all of that,
mm-hmm.
they actually come in and assist, not only just to give you money. They make sure that your books are being run properly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they assist you with the accounting services, also assist you with your labor issues, you know. If you want to get people, you get people. They make sure that you sign the contract with them so that you are always on the right side of the law.
Mm.
At the very same time, you are growing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like in dollar trading, they're a huge impact. Huge impact, I tell you.
Is it? I know that you are a growing business. And obviously I've had the privilege of working with you. I'm working with you, and I've seen at the rapid and rate that you're growing as a business. But now, before the business, individually, would you say you've grown through being in an incubator?
Yes. You grow individually. Remember, part of the package that we get from Incubus,
mm-hmm.
you actually get training that you attend to. I think it's CISA, the one that you subscribe to,
mm-hmm.
Where if you want to be a manager, all of those programs, you also get them there,
mm.
just to grow personally for you to be able to manage your business very well.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
No, let me give you this responsibility. I've got two beautiful ladies in studio. I've got Natasha from Incubus. I've got Busi from the Hope Factory. They're in the space of developing entrepreneurs or running incubators. If ever you'd appreciate them to me, for me today, as a businessman or as an entrepreneur, what would you say to them?
You see, if... Like in one word, I tell you, without Incubus, Dwellers wouldn't be where it is today.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't. I tell you, you know me very well, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Incubus has assisted Dwellers a lot. I mean, from having 2 employees to having 7 in the office, we're running about 3 sites now. Or Incubus has always been on our side from day one when we got into the program.
Mm.
I tell you, Incubest, if it was up to me, I would actually give them a much bigger scope to work with small business.
Is it?
Because they really understand and know exactly what they're dealing with.
Mm.
Yeah.
No, Vusi, more than anything, thanks a lot for your time, my brother. I mean, there's an entrepreneur out there that is listening, that wants to be a Vusi one day, that wants to be a Double Homer 40 today. If ever you'd encourage that young man, that young woman today, what would you say to them in 30 seconds?
You must never give up. You must never give up. If you have passion for business, you must never, never give up. In fact, you must, you know, when even myself, Debra, you're one of the guys that I look up to, you know, to say that I'm with this guy and he's way ahead of me. For a young person who's there on the street wanting to start their own business, I'm saying, don't waste no time. Go out, seek assistance, look for all the programs that will assist you. Go out and do your best there.
Wow. No, that is powerful. No, thanks a lot, Vusi.
Okay, no, thanks, Peter.
Okay. Bye. No, thank you. Natasha, how does that make you feel? Hearing an entrepreneur that you've impacted saying, you know?
Firstly, just to be fair, I must tell you that Vizzy is a very, very good businessman. He is easy to work with. And one thing that he stretched, and I really think that is something that everyone can take from Vizzy's book, is to never give up.
Mm-hmm.
Vizzy will never come to me first before he tried to make his own plan. When Vizzy contacts me, I know that he thought about the problem that he has, and that he tried to solve it himself. Not that he's not using the guidance, but he's not just expecting help. He's a very hard worker, and Vusi is really one of our beneficiaries that we are so proud of. So that makes me feel very proud and very privileged to be part of Vusi's story, if it sounds like that.
Wow, no, that's amazing. Vusi, unfortunately, we're still struggling to get hold of one of the success stories from your incubator, but I know that you guys have been doing amazing things, you know, I mean, at a much bigger scale than Incubus has. I mean, but what would you say has been the success factor, though, within the Hope Factory?
I think our programs are anchored around mentorship.
Mm-hmm.
So we see a lot of benefit in terms of walking the journey with entrepreneurs,
mm-hmm.
and also not looking only at the business, but looking at the person themselves and looking at how to develop the person to become the best them that they could be. So we found that through mentorship and through that holistic approach that we apply to developing the entrepreneurs, we see greater impact.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2015, we were able to create 95 jobs.
Wow.
And 53% of the businesses were able to increase in turnover, and we're able to, 49 of the businesses were able to increase in our profits. So you see that through the mentorship intervention, we see great results. And it's through stories like Vusi that give us encouragement in terms of the work that we do,
mm-hmm.
because that's exactly what we want. We want to be able to walk a journey with someone and get them to realize things that they would have struggled to realize on their own, and just get them to navigate the challenges of their business and to thrive in their business. So that's a very important a part of our programs, that mentorship element, that ability to just be there and help them work on their business and help them realize their own potential.
Okay. But now, I mean, you guys have been in existence for a long time.
Yes.
I mean, do you have a count of the number of businesses that have gone through your incubator today?
We have about 1,000 individuals that have gone through our programs.
Mm-hmm.
So since 2002, we've got about 1,000 jobs that we've created, and that's through the people that have gone through our programs.
Wow.
And we've got different programs. So right now I'm speaking in terms of our enterprise and supply development program.
Okay.
We've got our skills development program.
Mm-hmm.
We've also got our social development program, which really only focuses on the personal development element of an individual and getting them to unlock their potential and to start generating income, or to be more almost like be more attractive in terms of the job market. So there's different elements that we look at, but all of them going towards our vision of ensuring that every South African is empowered to be financially sustainable. So all our programs, in every teaching that we have, we want to ensure that there's sustainability in the businesses that we grow.
Okay.
So we want longevity in businesses. We want to create legacy businesses so that they can benefit even more generations to come.
I mean, speaking of benefit, did you want to probably quickly highlight some of the benefits that you guys give to small business?
So it's the mentorship that we offer in our programs.
Okay.
We also have training and workshops,
mm-hmm.
and that's where we would impart business skills, and we also cover all the functions of the business,
mm-hmm.
sales and marketing, operations, finance, like Precious mentioned,
mm-hmm.
which is also an important part of reviewing the performance of the business. We also offer opportunities to access markets. So we know that a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with accessing new markets. They struggle with entering into the mainstream market. So we assist them with initiatives to access new markets.
Oh, really?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
And we also offer an operational investment grant to our entrepreneurs, and that's mainly to assist with the operations of the business, to just kickstart the entrepreneur, to get them on the right track. And also industry expertise. So with the entrepreneurs that join our program, we find that in order for them to remain competitive in their industry, they need industry expertise. They need someone who's been there in that industry to say, this is how things work in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make an example with the construction industry, where something...
That's my industry.
Oh, that's your industry. Yeah. Where the costing is different from costing in a service industry.
That's so true.
So if an entrepreneur is going there using a service industry costing model, that could jeopardize their business. So we want to make sure that they're also remaining competitive within their industries, and we give them that assistance.
Wow. I mean, there's the, Natasha, I mean, she spoke of some of the benefits that they've been doing. They have been in existence since 2002. So you're sitting with an adult, you know, in the incubation space. How long have you guys been in existence?
Since 2014. So we're really in infant stage.
Yes, yeah.
And yeah, we try and learn. We still learn from our entrepreneurs, from our service providers, from everyone every day. I think entrepreneurship is something that evolves constantly.
It does.
So whether you are in infant stage or in adult stage, you can't just sit back. It's something that keeps on evolving. So to keep on learning, you know, is crucial.
Yeah. So then what are some of the benefits that you guys offer SMEs?
We pride ourselves on our flexibility. So our model is also built around flexibility. That's why we, at one stage, we may take in a little bit less beneficiaries than other incubators. So we do have a standard package which includes the financial compliance, legal compliance, all their corporate identity, guidance, mentorship, training, a business plan and profile, because most people that come to us does not have any of that in place. And then also, like Vusi explained, if they've got certain projects that they work on, maybe they need some inset cost, you know, to start with a project, that is something that we will assist with, or a vehicle or whatever might be their need. We go from the instance that it doesn't help to train a construction company if they don't have a vehicle to go to site.
That's true.
So we address very specific needs, and we try to be as flexible as possible in the different industries, and each company on its, you know, is judged on its own merits.
So now, I mean, in terms of now what you've just said, the offering that you give, do you take entrepreneurs annually, or, you know, is there an entry date that opens up for application? How does it work?
Okay. We do not show anyone away. We will take in any application and consider it. But we do take in people for 6 months at a time in our enterprise development program.
Okay.
So we really try and make a big difference in a short time period.
It means I'm coming.
Yeah. We already established that you don't need us.
What's that supposed to mean? Okay.
So we do take them into the enterprise development program for at least 6 months.
Okay.
Like I say, we are very flexible. And on the supplier development board, we keep them in the program indefinitely. And that is for them to have a platform, especially with our sister's company, CISA, to provide them the platform so that they can market their product to all of the clients of CISA as well. So they stay on the supplier development board, you know, indefinitely, mostly until they decide that they do not want to render service to that platform anymore.
I had CISA, by the way, on the show last week. We're talking about labor matters. So now, I mean, Busi, do you guys take people annually, or do you guys have it all opened as well, just like Incubus?
We usually take people annually, and we've got certain periods when we would take on entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
But what we've also now introduced is, should there be any corporates that we are partnering with,
mm-hmm,
that would like us to develop a certain group of entrepreneurs,
okay,
then we can partner with them and then take on entrepreneurs within that period whenever they need to. So we've opened that up so that we at least give people the opportunity to engage with us even anytime during the year, but we do that through the different corporate partners that we have.
Oh, okay. So now I'll come and address the issue of corporates being involved within the space of incubators. But now tell me, the businesses that affiliate or that become part of your incubator, do they pay to be part of the incubator?
When they join the Hope Factory, they pay a 500 rand commitment fee.
Okay.
And that's a refundable fee. So should they leave the program, they would get that 500 back.
Mm-hmm.
But it's usually a commitment fee that shows that a person has really buys into the process.
Mm.
But in terms of the services that we then offer, it's free.
Okay. So then now I've seen a particular incubator, I don't want to mention names, that they bring you in, they develop you, then they take a stake of your business.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the same with Hope Factory?
We do not take any equity from our entrepreneurs' businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So we are a non-profit organization, and our mandate is to grow people and develop businesses and impact communities. And we do that through the funding that we receive from corporates.
Mm.
So we do not take any equity into the entrepreneur's business. For us, that's not a business model that we wanted to explore.
Mm. Okay. Then do you guys charge entrepreneurs to be part of your...
No, we receive all our contributions as grants, and we offer it to our beneficiaries as grants.
Mm-hmm.
So for as long as they're on the period, the money spent on them counts as a grant. So, yeah.
So do you guys take a stake as well?
No, we don't.
Oh, is it? So, yeah, no. Because I wanted to have this one that takes stake here. They you know, I think they knew that I was going to ask them that, you know, so they decided to not come through, but I'll get them. I'm a very patient man. So now, I mean, right now, obviously being, guys, incubators, you guys are non-profit. So you guys are relying on sponsors. You're relying on corporates, you're relying on government to become involved in terms of helping you guys make a difference in the space that you guys are in. Are you guys getting good response from corporate?
We are getting good response, and that's also being impacted by the BEE legislation that has come about. So it has.
Hey, I'm sure that when that legislator came through, incubators went, yes, now they need us.
Exactly, because it almost acts as a facilitator for our work.
Mm.
And it has enabled us to reach more people and to develop more people. So I think it's a really good legislation.
Mm.
And I think the philosophy behind it and the vision behind it is really good, because it aligns to the vision of the incubators and what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
So we have received good response. And we have organizations, corporates, that really want to make a difference, and that understand that making a difference to the lives of entrepreneurs is going to impact the economy positively.
Mm-hmm.
And when the economy is growing, the businesses and corporates are also benefiting in the long run. So we want people who buy into that long-term vision and that are willing to invest,
mm-hmm,
in not just the growth of the entrepreneur, but the growth of the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so now, Natasha, tell me, I mean, you guys have been in existence since 2014. I mean, they've got a long track record, you know, of financial statements, reports and the like. I mean, how are you guys responding in terms of... attracting corporates and sponsors to come in?
We had a very good response since we started in 2014 with just over 1,000 contributors already.
Wow.
In a short period of time. So we're very privileged and very thankful.
Mm.
All our contributors is also business owners that needs the points on enterprise development and now supplier development. The thing is, the BEE legislation has become immensely complicated. It is not something that a business owner can deal without specialists anymore on their own. So that's why companies like CISO deals with the compliance and all of that plays such a big role with regards to this. And also incubators, because I think Busi can again attest to that. We deal with all the red tape. We make sure that the moment that you spend your money with IncuVest, you are eligible to claim your points. So we handle all the red tape. We make sure that the correct people are developed, that the correct tracking tools are in place, feedback reports go out, so all of that. So yes, the BEE legislation I think is for incubators and for enterprise and supplier development in general a big positive.
Wow. No, I mean, good to hear that. So now, I don't do this on the show, but now for the fact that you guys are looking after businesses, I want you guys to tell corporates. Right now, obviously there's a corporate company that is listening to the show, and obviously right now they need to be, for me, my interest here is small business. Obviously it's them getting help. So the more we've got incubators, the more we've got finance for small businesses to grow, I think for me it's one thing that is outstanding. So right now, obviously, there's probably a CEO or CFO of some company that is probably sitting and listening to the show. If ever now you were to tell them to come and put their money to entrepreneurs in 30 seconds, what would you say to them?
I would say, please join our noble cause in building our nation and ensuring that we secure the future of our country and ensuring that we grow our economy through development of entrepreneurs, and which will impact job creation and poverty alleviation. And in order for you to join this initiative and be part of really changing the face of South Africa, join us and invest in the Hope Factory so that we can see a bigger difference be made in our South African communities.
Natasha?
I would tell them definitely, to just look around the world. We've got some of the most passionate entrepreneurs, really we do. There's a saying that goes that entrepreneurship is born out of poverty. And we've got more of of that in South Africa. So we are committed to change South Africa, one business, one life at a time, and we would really invite them to be part of that journey. It's actually something that you wanted to be part of.
So now, obviously, maybe there's an entrepreneur or even that corporate that is listening that wants to get hold of you. Where can they get hold of you?
They can visit our webpage at www.incuvest.co.za, or they can give me a call on 082-901-4014.
Okay, Busi?
You can visit our website, which is thehopefactory.co.za, or give us a call on 011-479-0601.
Good, thanks. So now, I mean, Busi, tell us some of the success stories that you've had in terms of businesses that you've transformed, and that you'd say this is a story that you think for you stood out, because you've given me a booklet with full of your success stories in the books that you have. Among some of the entrepreneurs that you've had, what story would you share with us quickly that you said for you was the crop of the crop in terms of the company that you've developed?
I think for me it would be, and you'll see it in the catalog, Full Menu Catering, which is a company that offers catering services. And when they joined the Hope Factory and we did the analysis of the business, they were operating at a minus 71% loss in their business.
Okay.
And they went through the mentorship process for a period of 12 months. And after that 12-month period, they managed to have a positive 41% profit margin. For me, that was a huge success story.
No, it was.
That took... It took a lot out of the entrepreneur, because they really had to bring themselves into that process. And they had to fast track learning, and they really had to bring a lot of energy into that process of mentorship. And that's why we could see the rewards. So for me, that is one of the stories I'm proud of. And over and above that, I've seen that with that very same company, they have now started mentoring other small catering companies and other entrepreneurs that want to start catering companies. So we're seeing that with the interventions that we're giving to the entrepreneurs, they're paying it forward, and they also want to make a difference to their fellow entrepreneurs who want to start the journey of entrepreneurship. So for me, that's one I'm proud of.
Wow. Yourself, Natasha?
I always say that if I talk about my beneficiaries, you know, I can keep you busy for 2 days. Because with everyone, there's such a special story. But I think Glenn, he's also in the industry of construction. Mm-hmm. When I met Glenn, he just lost all of his investment in a business, someone that he trusted, that he worked for several years, and he the guy told him to invest in his business rather than to start his own. Needless to say, Glenn lost everything. When he moved to Gauteng from Limpopo, he didn't have a business, he didn't have anything. Mm. So we were so glad when Glenn landed a contract in Roodepoort, and we jumped in and helped him with everything, pay the inset cost, and just to for him to run into another scam. But Glenn, he always says, Natasha, don't worry, I'm strong like Mother Russia. Yeah. So he just made sure that nothing gets him under. And he started to do subcontracting work on Eskom projects. And now Glenn is a proud owner of the Eskom vendor number.
Wow.
He's working for Eskom himself. Now he's employing more than 15 people from a business that had no employees. So we're very proud of Glenn, and he's just such a beautiful character that we all love to spend time with.
Well, but I must say, I mean, I think, Busi, you'd know this. I'm sure you too, and Natasha, working with entrepreneurs, I think, makes it priceless. Because for me, I think one of the things, I mean, I obviously have been doing this show, thanks to Cliff Central as well, that some of the feedback that you get out there in terms of the content that people get, in terms of people would say, no, dude, we listened, we were talking about this, and your guests were amazing, and this and this and this happened. I think it's priceless to see this one's transformation that takes place out there. I mean, through obviously empowering of SMEs to say, I mean, right now you might underestimate the little that you guys are doing in people's lives, but I can assure you that it's definitely quite amazing.
We are definitely the privileged ones. Yeah. I learn from my entrepreneurs and from my beneficiaries, I think, just as much as they learn from the program, really. I think if you don't have hope for South Africa, go out and find an entrepreneur. You'll have hope again, definitely.
No, definitely. So, Busi, as we close the show, there's an entrepreneur that is listening out there, whether a young man, whether a young woman, or even someone that lost their job or that have even probably given up on life. If ever you were to inspire that person and try to give them hope today, what would you say to them?
I would say that you should never give up, and you should invest in your own success. So by investing in your own success, I mean, if you're an entrepreneur and you're starting out, or if you've got challenges in your business, find an incubator. Find programs such as our programs, such as the Hope Factory, and invest in your success, because it's an investment that the entrepreneurs are making. Mm-hmm. Earlier on, when Precious spoke about her experience in incubators, she spoke about a lot of entrepreneurs coming to an incubation program and not really applying themselves, not really attending. And we see that. And I would like to say to entrepreneurs out there, there is assistance out there. There are people who are here to help, and who are here and have the expertise to develop their business. So invest in your own success and find those places, and we'll help you walk that journey.
No, definitely invest in your own success. Natasha, quickly.
I would really tell them to dream big. I find that people in South Africa tend to not dream big enough.
They're afraid of dreaming, yes.
They are so afraid of dreaming. When they come and they're like, Natasha, I don't know how to tell you, but I need this. And it isn't even such a big thing. So I would really say dream big and do not stop dreaming, because that will be the thing that will move you from where you are now to where you want to be. To be someone, you know, who can employ people, who can make corporate social investments and all of that. And then also be prepared to work hard, because a lot of people pitch at an incubator and think that you will run their business for them. Mm. It's something I'm very strict about. You know, it's your business and you need to change it. It's hard work being incubated, because we drive you to a point where you haven't been before. So I would think dream big and be prepared to work very, very, very hard.
No, definitely. Thank you a lot, ladies, for joining us. Eh?
Thanks for having us.
No, definitely. This is what we had for you today on 360 Biz. Before I close off, what am I saying? A mentor empowers a person to see a possible future and believe it can be obtained. Be the mentor you wish you had. This is all that we had for you today right here on 360 Biz. You can definitely go on to www.cliffcentral.com and go check out the podcast of the show if ever you've missed it, and all the other exciting shows that we have. Catch us again next time, same place, right here on 360 Biz. My name is Deborah Mafodi. I'm out.
This is cliffcentral.com.